You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
At what's up, this is Doc Coyle, this is the X-Man. I'm your host. I guess it's, you know, it's that time of the year. I like how the switch, it just happens, right? Thanksgiving, next thing you know, it's like midnight on Thanksgiving and boom, there's just Christmas music and eggnog lattes hitting you upside the head. I'm not in the spirit yet, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not there. I don't know. Am I supposed to be? It's not even December yet. I feel like it'll be December when, by the time this comes out, it'll be December. So for you, it's December. Welcome. It's still, you know, I don't know, 66 degrees, 67 degrees outside. So it does never feels very Christmassy in sunny California. But I hope all of you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I ate quite a bit. I'm still eating leftovers. My aunt gave me, I don't know, 5 pounds of food. It's like, I like stuffing. I mean, it's just, a lot of people do the no carb diet. I think I'm doing the all carb diet. That's what I've been doing. And it's, I don't know. I feel okay though. I feel fine. You know, I haven't really even been working out. Been too busy. What's going on, guys? I'm very busy right now. It's weird when you're trying to get on top of your shit during the holiday time, because you know you have a limited amount of time. You're like, okay, by December, such and such, no one's working, no one's doing business, but I have a lot to do, okay? Bad Wolves has a tour next year, starting January 15th, and everyone's literally off been doing other things, and we haven't got a chance to rehearse as a band, so I'm knee deep in like transcribing songs and working on tunes. But then I don't know about y'all, like I'm the guy who procrastinates when he gets mail. So I have like a pile of stuff. I'm sure it's, and yeah, I miss deadlines, and just because the pile builds up, and you're like, I'm going to take like an afternoon or a morning and I'll just deal with that. But then you just, it kind of sits there and I don't know, there's a lot going on. I'm way behind. Maybe I'm just too busy. I don't know. Or I just don't know how to, like you have a day like, oh, I'm gonna get this done, then you get like 20% of it done and you feel like a failure. I don't know, that's where I'm at now, but I am very motivated, which is good. I feel equal parts. By the way, I hope you guys liked last week's episode. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about that, giving you all some insight into what those who know think about the current state of metrics and all that. But yeah, I mean, in many ways, I'm trying to divorce myself from some of that, but you have to kind of use that stuff to know where you're at, right? So anyway, so with that, I see like really encouraging data and some data that's not so encouraging. And that's okay. But what's kind of done for me is be able to hone in on kind of a path and understanding like the opportunity that I have, my band has right now. But with that, also these great challenges. And sometimes I have to remind myself, I have to kind of go, you know what? We're not even fucking supposed to be here. I mean, really. I mean, I remember like listening to the Metal Sucks podcast. And for months on that podcast, they're like, those guys, they should just change the name and move on. And I don't know, a lot of people kind of had that notion that we kind of couldn't survive the member change. And so if a lot of people think that, right? And I'm like, yeah, man, this is like an uphill battle. Like we're, even where we're at, maybe we shouldn't even be here. So it's kind of defying the odds or being somewhat of an underdog in my eyes is always the more interesting place to be. And then you got to look at yourself and go, well, what are you afraid of? Right? You're afraid of failing. Like, what is that? What does that mean? What is fail? I mean, I guess you have to have expectations, right? Like, what are the expectations? Is the band supposed to be this? Is, are we supposed to sell this many records? Are we supposed to sell this many tickets? Are we supposed to, it's all, and it's all gets wrapped up into this validation process. And ironically, before Bad Wolves took off, it was, I had finally gotten to a place in my life where I didn't care what my stuff did. You know, I didn't need any external validation. In this weird way, through this process, when you have people constantly telling you that you're gonna fail or that you should fail, you suck, and it's like, and it's to this day. I mean, people post stuff on different forums, not forums, but you know, different formats, and it's like, and it always stings, you know, and I have to prepare myself that that's just something I'm going to have to deal with, right? Like, how do you just, when does it not sting? I guess when, I think it stings because even you're not sure. You're like, well, maybe they're right. Maybe I can't do this. I don't know. But I think when you kind of get around it and you go, all right, let's put the fucking blinders on and let's go to work, right? And then you go, all right, and you'll just put everything you can and make and do fucking great things. And, but it's not going to happen in a day or a week or a month, or maybe even a year. You know, you got to put in that consistent work and create quality things around that for a long period of time for it to really pay off. And yeah, and I think we just want it to be that. And being in the environment where we're at home and you're just so introspective and you're so in your bubble and it's like, what is the real world? What is, and then those comments, that becomes the real world to you, right? Because you have no other metric, right? I'm not on tour right now. I'm not feeling the vibe of the people or whatever, you know? So I'm very motivated right now and looking down kind of a challenge and going, all right, let's fucking do this fucking thing. Let's not be afraid to fail, whatever that means, you know? And I think the failure is really, or the prospect of failure is only wrapped up in the idea of comparison. Well, this band is doing this and this person over here is doing that. And I'm trying to like figure out how I can kind of hijack my programming to go get off that, get out of the whole, it should be this or it should be that, and go, okay, well, what works for you? What makes you happy? You know, and I'm still not there yet, but I'm gonna work on it. So that's what I've been thinking about. A couple other things. I have some Dunlop Doc Coil guitar picks that I'm doing like a Cyber Monday week discount, 50% off at doccoil.net. Only about 20 sets left. I put it up yesterday, about half of them went out the door that night. So when they're gone, they're gone. They're only $10 plus shipping. And then also check out a video I did with 2 minutes to late night. I don't know if you guys watched that. My buddy Jordan Olds, or I guess his what's his pseudonym? Guarsenio Hall. But we did a cover of Blackened by Metallica, where the fast parts are slow and the slow parts are fast. And we had Troy from Mastodon and Nate Garrett from Spirit Adrift, as and the drummer Dan from Carcass. So a lot of heavy hitters on this one. It was a real honor to be on that, and it's getting a lot of good buzz. And the video is real fun, and everyone's really having a lot of fun with it. But I think it came out really cool, so check that out as well. All right. With all that said, we do have a sponsor this week, and it's a gentleman who, I guess, sponsored the show with a different band, Seeking Sirens, and now he put together a project under his own name, Joseph Isaiah, and he did this really cool project where he got a bunch of kind of established metal guitar players, songwriters, and he did vocals on the whole thing, but then he had all these different guys play on it and stuff. So I'll give you the list after this, but this is the song that I wrote for him. I played all the guitars, and yeah, I'll give you all the details after. But anyway, this one is called So Resolved by Joseph Isaiah and myself.
What wrong will I get to? I've suffered every day. What makes a stranger to your dreams? What will be? Your judgment, it's born of jealousy. All said and done was up for insecurity. Ever questioning what he is and means. All is told, bearing down over. Yeah. I damn you for judging. Burden of now until that I am born. The reach of your judgment, it's born of jealousy. All said and done was up for insecurity. Hear who now has seen, hear what's all deceit. You can stop what you cannot keep. God damn you for judging. Just begin. Down a
So you just heard So Resolved, the brand new track from Joseph Isaiah with myself guesting, and that's from the album Harder Truths. That's a fun one to say. And yeah, so he is the vocalist as well of the band Seeking Sirens, who was already on the show. Another band called From Under Concrete Kings. Another band, Sour Time. So he's out there doing stuff. Actually, he's a photographer as well, and he has a company called Do Work. So he's doing work. But anyway, so let me tell you about this album. So he has some really great musicians in the metal field besides myself. Also doing tracks on the album is Justin Longshore of Through the Eyes of the Dead. What's up, Justin? We toured back in the day. Tim Mac Miller of Protest the Hero. Now listen to that song. It's very Protest the Hero-ish. Chris Norris, formerly of Darkest Hour, friend of the program, jammed with God Forbid for a minute. Chris Daniel, formerly of The Acacia Strain. Josh Gilbert, also friend of the show, a co-producer and co-writer on the new Bad Wolves album, and plays in Azalea Dying, Woven War, Total Badass, a song with Josh Previt of Under Concrete Kings. Buzz McGrath, also X-Man guest from Unearth, did a song. And yeah, so that's the record. And I guess how do we want to find Joseph? So I would say, by the way, his name is spelled Joseph and it's Izaya. All right, if you're looking for him on Spotify or anything like that. But he has a link tree and it's just at Joey Dangerously. And it has his YouTube channel, Spotify, you can listen to the whole record, SoundCloud, links to all kinds of stuff. And yeah, and his Instagram is Joey_Dangerously. Reach out to him, say you enjoyed the song. I hope you enjoyed the song. It was a lot of fun to do that. A lot of work though, you know, trying to make him happy. You know, he's like, hey, I need a song. I was like, all right, hopefully I can get her done. But it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun doing that. But anyway, thank you for sponsoring the show. If you'd like to sponsor the show, shoot me an email at thexmanpodcast@gmail.com. Remember, it's EX. I am pretty backed up right now, so you might not be able to get on for a while, but that's all right. We'll get you. It's going to be a wonderful Christmas season with many X-Men to come. Alrighty. With all that out of the way, let's talk about our guest. Someone I've been trying to get on the show for quite some time, and he's amazing. Adam Warren from Oceano, who I think is one of the more kind of legendary singers in that scene. The guy has a voice from either heaven or hell, depending on your perspective on what you like. But, you know, I've been following this guy for a really long time. I mean, Oceano is one of the heaviest bands on earth, and his voice is just unbelievable. And he's been really stepping out, doing different things, different spaces, which with Twitch and YouTube and gamer stuff. And he's just a really, really cool guy. So I'm going to dispense with the introductions, and please check out this wonderful conversation with the incredible Adam Warren.
As long as I look good for you. Listen, you look fantastic. Right? You're a professional streaming individual, okay?
As are you.
Not me. I haven't streamed much. I've streamed.
You don't count this?
No, because it's not live.
Oh, never.
Yeah, well, other people aren't listening to it now. I mean, I've had some calls and emails with Twitch to start doing stuff, but my schedule got crazy, and I'm like going on tour in like 2 months. But I'm like, is it worth it to start a whole channel and then have to leave? And I don't know if I can keep it consistent. I don't know. I got to figure it out.
And maybe you got to bring it on the road like Hefe.
Yeah, but then you need like, the problem is it's not download speed, it's fucking upload speeds, bro. Upload speeds. So I didn't know about this till, you know.
Yeah. I got some, I have a solution for that. It's what Hefe's been doing. If you're ever curious.
It's like a mobile unit.
Yeah, he's got a whole fucking backpack and shit with like bam, 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 bam. You know, he's got but it works.
Yeah.
I'm trying to do the same thing like in the future, but I would love to see you guys do that. That'd be tight.
Yeah, I've just been, you know, I've been wrapped up with so many fucking things. Like, that's it's a little scatterbrained. So I'm like, all right, let me try and figure it out. But I just might just sometimes you like, you know, you get so wrapped up in doing something correctly or the right way or perfectly that you just kind of push it off. And sometimes you just gotta go, just start doing it and have it be janky and just figure it out.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's what they say on Twitch is like scuffed. You know, you just going in scuffed, just do it scuffed. It's better than taking, you know, months just to, you know, I gotta wait for the flyer and the fucking, you know, all this shit and that.
Yeah, I hear that. Well, sir, welcome to the X-Men podcast.
Thanks for having me. I'm stoked. Sorry I couldn't make it the last time you had some openings.
But no, but that was my bad being on some last minute fuck shit.
And that was my bad for not being like spontaneous. Let's go. But it still works out.
No, you're someone I've had in mind for quite some time. I mean, one, because I will be talking to all the black people in metal. Okay. Wherever you are, you can't hide from me. All right, they're talking to you, Howard Jones. All right, you can't hide too long.
Please. I'm waiting for that one.
No, it's actually like there's like the funny part of it, but there also is kind of like, you know, it's our little club.
Yeah. It's like a club of misfits sometimes or outcasts, I guess.
Well, the thing is sometimes you don't even need to know someone, but then you'll see them right at a show, and it's like you just give them the nod. What's up, man?
It's for me, it's just like you black, we get each other. I start talking shit and cracking jokes. It's just it's an automatic switch.
it's this weird thing because it, especially like when God Forbid started and was out there, it was such a topic, right? It was kind of, you know, I mean, it was part of our bio. I mean, literally like the band's bio. And it was so, you know, I want to say strange is the word, but it just stood out. And it was something that was like, whoa, this is a thing. Where now I don't, you know, I had Tosin on the show. We talked about this, where I just feel like it's not really a thing anymore. I just think there's a lot more people of color. I think the scene has gotten more diverse just in general. You know, like we're same thing with like a female singer of a band, right? That was kind of a big deal 15 years ago. Now that just seems like pretty common.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I definitely with the women vocalists and stuff, totally. Like I remember, you know, it's like those shows just like even the local, you know, local acts like there's a girl, and I'd be like, they're not that good, but that's cool too. You know, like now we're just getting to like, it's just all kind of mixed in, you know, it's like, all right, they're either sick or they're not, you know, I'm glad that it kind of got to that finally.
No, there's certainly no qualifiers. I think good is just good, right?
Yeah.
If you can be whatever, tokenized to whatever degree and have a thing or, oh, this person's hot, but if you don't bring it, right, if you don't have the skill set, you know, I don't think you're going to go far in any realm, let alone music or metal.
Yeah, I definitely would agree.
Well, speaking of good, that's how you got on my radar. I remember first time hearing about Oceano was, I want to say it was it a Thrash and Burn tour?
Yeah, I think that was my first bigger ones.
And you were going out with Devil Driver. I want to say Emir was on that tour.
Yeah, that was stacked. Despise Icon and shit.
Well, but you guys had maybe just put, you know, a video out or, you know, something with that first record on Earache, and all people could talk about was like your voice. They're like, this fucking band with this dude, he has the crazy, like you had this voice that was like, people in the scene were just talking about like, yo, this shit is crazy. Because I feel like that was the, I wouldn't say the early years of deathcore, but it was like kind of that first wave of deathcore bands breaking out. And then it was just a new sound for what was going on in heavy music. It was like people pushing things to these extremes that for, I guess at that point, guys from the previous generation were just like, God damn, this shit is something different.
Yeah, I mean, I have no idea what people still, you know, think after all these years, like, you know, on the full scale. But I definitely hear that a lot, like that something. I don't fucking know. You know, I was rocking the, you know, your guys shit, fucking, you know, Howard shit, and just that it just came, you know, just being my black ass self, you know, and it just came out like that. So to hear that, I was like, cool, because, you know, everyone that I liked and looked up to and still do, you know, they kind of had recognizable sounds where it's like, that's homie on that, that's homie on that. And I didn't try to do that, but I'm glad people feel that.
How did you start doing extreme vocals? You just singing along to records? Or
yeah, so I was so when I was in college, I was just starting to really get into the heavy music, and like I was just in a band, and so it kind of came from that. Was just like, I did that shit sounded like garbage, but like I was still, you know, in my dorm, like practicing to all the music that I liked, which was all the OG metalcore stuff, and just practicing in my mom's living room, practicing, you know, at school, and just that was really it. It was just fun though, you know, like it started just like, I just, you know, it's like metal karaoke. That was just a fun thing to do instead of, you know, singing along to the typical stuff. I was like, this is way cool. It's like aggressive. It's like a sport, you know, like almost like I can get into that. And that's just where it started.
But I'm always confused because like, I can't really scream, right? I can yell kind of gritty and like almost like Rob Flynn style from Machine Head, or even I can almost do a pretty bad Max Cavalera impression, or like Jamie Joss or something. But there's a different, what Melissa Cross will call a fry scream, scream, which is like, it's just a different way of it. She kind of, the way she describes it, is that you have to start doing the voice of Marge Simpson. Like, it's like this. Anyway, you know, it's a little weird, a little technical, but like, for example, Byron from God Forbid, like he could just scream. Right, he could just do it. and for people who can't, like me, it's almost like it's just a mystery. You're like, how did you figure out? Because not only doing it, but also doing it properly without hurting your voice or not losing your voice through the course of a show or in the studio. Mm-hmm. And so that's something you kind of naturally understood the mechanics so that you wouldn't do it in a way that would hurt your voice.
Dang, I've never heard like what I consider a true musician's kind of take on that, like that it's just hard to fathom. Because I'm like, why are these motherfuckers so impressed with this shit? You know, like anyone can do it. You know, but yeah, it's like, I guess, I mean, like to like kind of jump back to like originally what I was doing was I was just playing with action figures a lot. So I was actually like, at a young age, I just wanted, you know, like watching cartoons and all that shit. Like I wanted to create my own shows and shit. So I was just trying to make the voices of characters, and that just started the contortion, kind of just visualizing how you have to like, I have to make my voice, because these were consistent characters in my day-to-day activities that I'd make. So I try and remember their voices and shit, and like redo it every day. So I think that's probably where it came from, was just that kind of just visualizing, this sounds like this when I do feel like this, you know, and just matching that all together. Which is, I think, very weird to say out loud.
No, but if you think about it, if you're watching like He-Man or something like that, or Transformers, they have these crazy voices, right? Like almost like monster voices, or that's actually super fascinating. Are you good at like doing impressions? Like, could you do an impression of another singer, kind of, or screamer?
I'd like to think I could. Like, at least the ones that I've you know, grown up listening to the most, you know, like I'd say, like at the time, you know, I was practicing a lot and stuff, getting into it. Like I was practicing like Lamb of God, God Forbid, Killswitch, Unearthed, As Lay Dying, you know, so those like probably like right around there, like lots of those metalcore staples, Bleeding Through, you know, stuff like that. I can probably like in my head be like, all right, how do I sound like, you know, Brandon or Howard? And I think I can get close for certain ones. Like, I think I can definitely hit Howard's singing voice. Not as good, but I can get that tone. So, you know, it's definitely a lot of like hearing it and then almost mimicking it sometimes, totally, even for my own stuff. When somebody's like, I got to hit that tone, all right, let me hear it back, you know, and then do it again.
I think that's fascinating. So my girlfriend is a really great singer, but she can also like hear, like, let's say we're watching something where it's like a voiceover, or even animated where you don't know who the person is, but she can like hear, she'll know exactly which actor it is. Whoa. But then she could also replicate people really well, replicate singers, do accents. So I think there's some, definitely some correlation between kind of vocal talent and being able to kind of have a certain ear for it, but also then being able to replicate it. And then same thing, I would say this with like comedians who do good impressions, like Eddie Murphy or Jay Farrell, like they're also, they can sing or they can rap. It's fucking, I don't know. I'm getting down a rabbit.
Yeah. Those guys are, I feel like the comedians that just like snap and just, it's, that's just crazy how uncanny they sound.
Yeah, but there's some correlation there. I'm gonna figure out. I'm sure some scientist somewhere has probably done some research that could probably help out. But one of the interesting things to me is that you kind of grew up on all this metalcore stuff, but the band you ended up starting was really, I think in one way is more one of the more kind of pure deathcore bands, right? Like of what people when they think of that genre and that era. I think Oceano is like one of the more bands that go, oh, what does deathcore of that era sound like? Put on that band. And it kind of encapsulates very well, I think, what was going on around that time. What for you, especially because you came up in Illinois, correct?
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was, and you can speak to this, if it was like a local scene thing or just what was going on. What was it about what you were doing where, and it may be collectively that just in general, where a lot of bands were doing that, where everyone wanted to kind of push the heaviness and the speed and all that stuff forward.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, I started off in a metalcore band, like, and so it was just, I think just, you know, it was really cool, I guess, just to see that organic shift from metalcore to deathcore, and then metalcore kind of coexisted with it. Mm-hmm. So I guess, for me, there wasn't any band like Oceano really doing anything as far as like the active bands in like the Illinois, Chicago metal scene. You know, we're all young too, but you know, there, as far as I remember, there wasn't, that was like one of the first deathcore bands locally that I caught into that was doing it like, let's fuck some shit up. And I think that's just what caught me, because at the time coming out of metalcore, I was like, I want to go heavier too. And it just was that natural. I heard it and I was like, all right. And it just got asked to join. But there were a few, but they were doing it more like Acacia Strain. And we were kind of doing that Acacia Strain with the death metal. And so like there were a few, like but we kind of absorbed them all. Actually, all the like heavy bands, we kind of just sucked them all into it and just had members be absorbed into us. So like, you know, there was one of our old guitarists at the time, his band From the Grave was like, they were playing like, I don't even know, dude, it was like Drop F or some shit, and like just smashing everybody. And that was another band I was like, fuck, I want to join them too. So there was a few coming up, you know, but like we were like I said, we were just one of the first, and I happened to just get absorbed into it, being a dude just wanted to go heavy as well.
How did the record deal with Earache come about?
We were already gonna release an EP, and it would just release it, you know. MySpace was good enough, you know, and we're just gonna do that route. And it kind of got slowed down, and so just right along the time when we finally had got it all paid off and stuff, and we're gonna figure out how to start dropping it and stuff, they just kind of popped up. And it just kind of was like, you know, we don't have anything else on the table. This is the time to just go for it. You know, you make mistakes sometimes too, but it's just, we were just such a young band, and the genre was so young. It was kind of like, we just let's go. We're already pretty a self-efficient band anyway. So let's just bring a label in to take it to another level.
Well, that was such a weird time to sign any record deal, because that was right when Spotify came out. Mm-hmm. And it was also like right when kind of CD sales were really starting to tank.
Yeah.
So it was this weird thing where there wasn't a lot of streaming now where there was a decent amount of income where you can kind of use that to fill the gap, but people were kind of losing all this other income. So it was just like, there was this weird shit going on. I know like Century Media was and not even Century Media, but a lot of labels were doing 360 deals, right? Because they were like, well, we can't make enough money just from selling records. We need to get into the band's merch and shows and all this stuff. I mean, I guess I would ask, like, was that something you experienced? I guess with the caveat of going, it seemed like you guys kind of hit the ground running, like you made a lot of noise on Depths. That was kind of like a lot of people talking about the band. So maybe it was moving some units.
Yeah, it's, I mean, we definitely got locked into a 360, but yeah, you know, there wasn't much else you could take, like you said, at that time. And, you know, so we just did it. I mean, we didn't know what the hell we were doing, but we at least knew we were doing something right, you know, because we had, you know, a label knock on our door. You know, we were already getting tour offers without the label and stuff. So it just was just a matter of, we just kind of took the risk, you know, took the risk. And like you said, just kept moving. Cause you know, we, at the time, we'd even had like starting to record that album. We had a member dip and kind of bit, like just ghost us. So like, and we had another dude join literally the day we left to record it, you know? So it's like, we kind of just had to, I felt, just keep that momentum going and take those risks and just, you know, take everything on the chin, or else who knew where that genre was going to go at that time.
Sure.
And, you know, it was like, you know, yeah, we want to be up there with JFAC and, you know, get some exposure, you know, like Suicide, and just be amongst that crowd before it's too late. And because we never knew when it was going to end.
Yeah. I mean, how did you experience just being on the road and getting out there and kind of exposing the band? Did you enjoy the process? Did you become a rock star, bro?
No rock star like vibes. No, not really. Like, I kind of like, as far as that, you know, I've been like always like pushed to like try and excel at things. So like, I was already, you know, people were like trying to like kiss my ass for like wrestling and football and like another shit too. So I was just like, let me just do what I'm doing and just like it, you know. I don't want too much praise. So like, you know, I just came into it just like really, I think, humble. And the fact that, like, you know, still, you know, I feel very blessed and fortunate, just like, you know, one of my first shows, you know, was with some of like the biggest bands in the genre, you know, like one of my first tours were with like bands that I've idolized and look up to. And, you know, it just really, I think I just really just was just grateful for that, to be like, kind of like, you know, new blood. And then having, you know, like a band like Devil Driver, you know, and their stage managers, all those peeps just kind of like, you know, kind of just instilling all the values in me while I'm fresh. And, you know, especially looking now, you know, it's kind of not that way. So I was just very humbled just to be there and, like, you know, just be influenced by all these people I've been listening to for forever.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Aaron from No Simple Road. I'm inviting you to come hang out with Apple, Mel, and I as we talk with the musicians, artists, chefs, authors, and beyond from the world that turns us on. We're reaching into the improvisational music scene, the psychedelic culture, the festival world, and getting to know what makes the people tick that create those scenes. Come join us on the long, strange trip over at No Simple Road.
Hello, Tom May here, host of Future Friday. I've spent the last 15 years on the road with my band, The Menzingers, where I've met all kinds of wild and fascinating people. So I started a podcast. On Future Friday, I talk to fellow musicians about the moments that made them, their passions outside of music, and the curiosities that tie us all together. I've also talked to the likes of UFO researchers, magicians, soldiers, and documentary filmmakers, and I'm constantly searching for folks that can shape and change our view of the world. You can check out Future Friday wherever you like.
How was the process of just learning to survive and like have, because there's the performance aspect, right? Like you said, just going out, doing your thing, being professional, but then all of a sudden, you know, you got to pay bills and you got to figure out, okay, how much money's the band bringing in? And that can be, you know, difficult for certain people if they're not reaching a certain level there. So is that a thing you were dealing with in terms of, just the ambition of like wanting to be bigger and do well and make money and kind of have the band grow in that respect?
Yeah. I mean, it's probably just some downfall. But I mean, honestly, from the jump, I never thought about the money side. Like, it was definitely a thing, but you know, because I guess just starting off, you know, like I still remember, you know, those like $5 pizza, you know, like buyouts and shit, you know. So it's like we were hungry, literally, you know, from the recording of the first album to like even, you know, into the first couple bigger tours. So I think, you know, leading up to all that, it just was, that's just all I knew was that grind. And from that, I learned early the value of the side hustle. Mm-hmm. And that's what kept me, you know, kind of afloat, was both that hard lesson. And also, you know, my mom just be like, you know, like being just on my ass, like worrying, like, what are you doing? You know, like, you're coming home with $0 and stuff. And just like, really just having this like, okay, well, to get my mom off my butt, you know, to chill, I got to get something at home, you know, to just, so like, she doesn't feel like I'm just some bum on her couch while I'm, you know, in between tours and stuff. So it helped me kind of just realize I got to just, you know, be very liquid, as far as like, you know, an actual liquid, and just be able to adapt for those early years of touring until things started to become a little bit more about the money, you know, and like, you know, sure, how much merch we're going to, you know, potentially make and all that stuff. Before all that, I just kind of adapted to expecting zero.
How long was it before the band actually was able to make some money and kind of get by and not be struggling?
I think one of the, damn, I know there was some nice days, because I kind of was been the band dad. I know there's those nice days where I just feel good that I can hand motherfuckers, you know, like a stack that they're going to be happy about. I think probably after we kind of took a hiatus that was going to be like a bye forever. But I think like after that, it's like once we kind of got in the swing. So you know, we had like one kind of like album, and then right around that like ending of the earache days, mm-hmm, that's when for me, you know, we were still making, you know, cash and stuff. It just, to me, I think the best days of it were, you know, we could be like, all right, we're just going to, you know, get a hotel, you know, and like, whether, you know, if we want to or not, sometimes we'll just get it, you know, like to have that. I think it really started at that transition point of like coming off an earache and just really like, and getting out of the 360, and you know, and like, and so right about there, and when we're getting ready to release like Ascendance, and then move on to Sumerian and stuff. So it's honestly, even you know, now like COVID really fucked the flow up, but you know, every tour even up till then, you know, it's just like it's been way better. I think it's also because we've kind of, you know, established a core group of like fans or a community that's just like, you know, I fuck with this, and that's helped us continue to grow with the scene.
Listening to the records, you guys are probably one of the more consistent bands in terms of sound. Like, there's not a lot of variance where it's like, oh, they went country on this album. they went emo on this record. Here's the new metal record. Like, there's really none of that with Oceano. It's pretty much like, here's the fucking beef. And there'll be some variance, I think, in, or like, maybe in the, I think the songwriting gets better and the playing gets tighter, and the production kind of has, especially like listening to the last two records, I think things are really kind of solidified. Is that something you're kind of orchestrating, or is it just naturally like, this is what the band is and everyone kind of gets that?
I think it's needed to be just a little of that. I can't take too much credit, because as we've shifted into like, I consider it the last two albums has been like the longest we've had the members we've had ever. So like, I see this like the core lineup as it sits. And I think a lot of the time I've at least tried to make sure that people coming in that have come in, they already appreciate the band, so that they kind of see, you know, and have their own expectations out of it. And that kind of keeps me in check when I want to do the weird shit that's like a little bit too far off. So I think it's just a good flow of that. You know, if I want to like push it too far away from what they think Oceano is, then it brings us back to a point, a middle ground. But beyond that, it's the same thing for them. Like, I'm just like, that might be a little not where we're at, but I just mostly try and make sure we retain a lot of the past, and you know, from every past album, a little bit of that vibe from every album, and then whatever we want to do right now. And I think that kind of keeps it level enough.
Well, it's interesting with that scene, because if you look at a lot of the biggest bands, right? Whitechapel has changed a lot. Like, their new record, they've got shit sounds like Tool. It's fucking, it's really cool. They're great at it. Suicide Silence has kind of gone through their crazy journey of veering way in a different direction creatively, and then kind of coming back with their last record. Job for a Cowboy turned into more technical death metal band, a little more progressive, which I think is great. Like, I actually enjoyed their stuff as they went on, but it seemed like the fan base really wasn't as connected to what they were doing. And so you see all these bands, even Acacia Strain, right? Like, their new record, they have shit sounds like fucking Crowbar, or like kind of more technical metal, and so everyone's trying to find, I think, ways to be kind of satisfied in terms of your own creativity and do things that you want to do, but you're always having that push and pull with the audience where you go, okay, I want to do what I want to do, but I also don't want to lose these people, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's like a tough, I think, thing for any artist, you know, or any band.
Yeah. I don't think that we've ever cared too much, you know, about the I guess like the pushback or the pull from the audience per se. But I'm really big personally on, at this point, being having gone this far with the band and stuff, I really just want to always do right by the OGs. Because that's how I always felt with the bands, that kind of, you know, I know you got to try new things, but as long as there's, you know, nods to the old stuff, or, you know, or whatever it may be, just to make you feel as a fan, like, all right, I'm still on this journey with them, but it's nice that they realize and are, you know, aware that there are people that just want to fuck with the old shit. So kind of just giving them a mix, you know, and slowly weaning them into the newer pastures and stuff. I like that personally more. And it kind of came from also being humbled, because we did do an album that was just like kind of, I don't know, bro. You know, so it kind of humbled me. I was like, all right, you know, I owe it to the, you know, I know what they like out of me, and I know that I'm doing it good enough. So why not?
Yeah. I mean, what's your thought on the state of that genre? Are you okay kind of being associated with that? Or is it kind of, is deathcore a dirty word in your mind? Or are you really fine with that?
It used to be. I remember the first interview we did for like Earache, that was definitely a thing we were like trying to, like, we're not deathcore, we're like death metal, you know. But it's weird how it comes full circle, because I don't think there's any better way to put it, especially with in the past and present, the music that all the members are influenced by, it fits perfectly. So, and I nowadays, I think it's kind of just like a swag. It's a swaggy word. It's just like it's an alternative to death metal, you know, something that the youth is more keeping alive, you know. And I like it now.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about it, because I think there was maybe a period of a couple of years where it seemed to kind of be maybe being pushed to the side a little bit, or not as cool. And then in the last couple of years, it seemed like there's a little comeback with, you know, like Lorna Shore's having this whole kind of renaissance and breaking out. What's that band from? I always forget the name of the band from Russia.
Slaughter Prevail.
Slaughter Prevails is like kind of blowing up. So it seems like, just when you think, it's same thing with metalcore. I felt like metalcore is like, oh man, this genre, it's kind of seen its best days. And all of a sudden it comes back and it's kind of bigger than ever. So these subgenres, they get hyped up and maybe overhyped and a little generic, and then kind of tamper down, and then but they persist.
yeah it's like, I guess I think it was Trey from Dying Fetus said this to me, and this I think really brought it all together, for just really seeing it for what it is. He was just like, we hadn't seen him in a while and we did a tour, and he was like, hell yeah, man, like, you know, the persistence. He said something about, you know, the persistence, just like, you know, just for the ups and the downs, you know, whether the genre is hot or not, you know, the fact that you're sticking it out through all of that, for when that upswing comes, you know, I feel that's when you get the cred and you get appreciated, you know, because I feel like a lot of the early deathcore, especially with us, I feel like the metal scene, especially death metal scene, just they're kind of vetting you all the time. They're always kind of fucking, you know, they're always kind of like checking you and like kind of pressing you and seeing if you have what it takes to get that, at least the respect, you know, at least the respect. So I always looked at it like the moment that the lamb goat comments started getting kind of more fun for me to even read, that's when it's like, all right, we've been here.
Thy Earth Is Murder is another band that's done really well last few years. So anyone who tried to bury the genre, you acted too soon, because bands are doing, a lot of these bands are doing better than they've ever done. Kind of wanted to actually let's talk about side hustle, since that's something you brought up, because in many ways in the last few years, I feel like when I do see you, especially in social media, online spaces, it has to do with all this whole other world of things you've been involved in. I wonder how many people who know you probably know you more from you as a streamer or doing YouTube and things like that. So when did you get into streaming, video games, the Black Mario character and all that stuff?
It really all started from two things. I always liked games. I just kind of moved on to sports and music, but I just needed a fucking hobby, you know, all the touring. When it really started picking up, it was just like, you know, I just come home, chill with, if I have a partner or not, you know, just chill, and that'd be my day. And I was like, you know, just always in my head, I was raised on this idea, you know, or the saying, like, what was it, like, idle hands is the devil's workshop. And so I just started knowing, it's like, you know, like, I'm just starting to fill all this time with like drinking and chasing girls and stuff, and I still did that, but I was like, I need something to like slow it down, you know. And so I just was like, what have I not really like gone hard in the paint with yet, you know, that I've past or present? And I was like, games. My mom never let me have, you know, like games. I had a few, you know, but like it was just like I just had a few things. I was like, let's go hard in that. And so I just went in. I was like, started getting everything that I didn't have as a kid, all the stuff that, you know, all the adults told me no, that I couldn't have. And then it just went from there. And from that, I think the community for the band started seeing that, and a few people were just like, yo, check out Twitch. And I didn't listen to them for like probably a year or two. Thankfully, I still listened on the early side of it, but eventually I did try it out, and I was like, this is a nice escape from the other side of life. And then that's how the Black Mario character came about, was just like kind of leaning into just, you know, yo, when you go to a new school, you can give yourself a nickname. You know, nowadays that's whack, but back in the day, you know, you could do that. It's like that. It's like, this is a new hood. I can just give myself a new name, a new personality, and just no one's going to know who I am. And I can you know, get into a new community and gain the respect of another community through persistence and, you know, and just doing the viewers right and stuff. So that's kind of how it all came about.
When did this happen? What, like kind of year or time frame?
I started streaming in 2017, like as myself. And then for like, it was probably only for like a few months, and I went to Black Mario. And since then, I've come back to myself, because that seems to be what people like. Still, once again, the full circle.
Yeah, and it's so funny because your band in music is like the heaviest, darkest, most like devastating. And then this other world just seems so wholesome.
It is, yeah. It is quite wholesome. I definitely, I'm a man of duality, and I like just a lot of vibes. Like I like being able, you know, walk into one room and the vibe's totally different in the other. And then the next room's still, like, I just love just being able to immerse myself in one thing that I'm passionate and obsessed about, and then jump to another one, and just keep, that's how the everything stays fresh, and I never get sick of all this shit, you know. It's just, I just keep creating another thing that I'm into, or finding a new space to be a different type of creative in that space. And it always keeps, you know, the music side and the metal side, you know, it's just always, it's still fun.
So how have you found the Twitch community? I mean, just in general, like what's the vibe over there?
I think there like there's two like sides to it. With it's like you the toxic side rears its head mostly, you know, behind a computer screen. And when you're just, you know, and it's not that much, but it happens and it comes up. But when you get to the actual community side, I think, you know, like I went to like TwitchCon 2019, it was drastically different. That's where the whole stuff just 100% pure. There's no, there's no seemingly outward corruption there. And, you know, it's like when it's face to face, it just changes the vibes even more. But even streaming is still, it's still great. You know, I like it's, it seems like it's like music, you know, the community that you nurture is what you get in return. So I think, you know, if as long as you're nurturing, you know, good vibes and just, you know, quality content, you're going to kind of get, you know, quality interactions and just a good time in return.
Well, I mean, maybe you wouldn't be surprised, but a lot of the people I've had on the show recently have veered out into streaming, veered out mm-hmm. into YouTube, in that I think, you know, so for people listening to my show, maybe I'm being a little repetitive here, but I think the pandemic has really transformed forever in a good way the way musicians think about what their job is, essentially. Mm-hmm. Right. And so I think the musicians who are ahead of the curve and really being smart and kind of utilizing their time and resources in a good way are saying, well, my job is really to be a content creator, and that could be 10 different things, right? Mm-hmm. And the way generally in the past, our main way to connect people was just we make records, we go on tour. Right. And really the tour was the, hey, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to create that, that relationship. But now everything is social media. Everything all is online. So probably 90% of your connection with people is going to be in those spaces. So if you can really hone it in and make that, okay, this is what I'm doing, I just think you're just going to have a lot of success. And that's what I'm seeing in general. Is that something you've kind of encapsulated, where now you're like, okay, yeah, I do the band, I do this, but this other part is probably just as important?
Oh yes. And it's, you know, it's been a minute since we've dropped music and stuff, you know, adapting to the COVID and the changing of, you know, the music industry rollouts and stuff. So I felt that it kind of did put, I guess, as far as me as a vocalist and a representative of my band, it definitely put me at a kind of ahead of that curve to at least understand that I don't have to be one or the other. I can be both. Mm. But then it was really cool to see, you know, once people had to start adapting and becoming into that, the social web presence and, you know, like a better YouTube presence and even like a live stream presence. It was kind of cool because it's almost like everyone's mind switched that got it. And now we're kind of all here. And now we all are like, oh, okay. You know, like, I see why the fuck you were doing that. You know what I mean? Like, it's different, but, you know, everyone can be here on Twitch and YouTube and create unique content towards their specific band's community and audience. And that's always something I wanted to do, but it was really hard to get people on board because, you know, the you know, like the return on interest to trying to do a fucking, you know, like YouTube vlog or whatever for a band was nothing. You're not getting much more than just views, because that was when YouTube was younger. No one was getting, you know, like paid off of YouTube or anything like that, unless you were huge. So I think it just really, as the content creator, you know, job title became more validated, I think it helped me kind of truly see that, like, this is the right way to go. And when my band does pop back up, we're going to be better for it now, because now everyone is kind of using that type of approach. So mm-hmm. like the fans understand it and see the value in it and desire it now too.
Yeah. Well, for a year and a half, they really didn't have a choice, right? If they wanted to hang out with their favorite bands or see what they're up to, they had to go to, you know, Patreon or Twitch or whatever. And I think it's actually strengthened the relationship. It's made the relationship between artists and their fans actually more intimate. Mm-hmm. you know, maybe, you know, maybe sometimes a little too intimate. Some people don't know the difference between their real life and the public life and all that. And some fans probably demand too much, you know, and want that access all the time. But yeah, I think ultimately we all just got to roll with the punches, right? Whatever that is. And in some of these ways, like, I feel like I do the podcast and that's my main capacity. I'm on social media, but I feel like I do it hesitantly a lot of the time. I think I'll be more successful with the more I fully embrace and go like full into things like YouTube and Twitch and these things. So I'm gonna get into it. All right. I'm kind of like, I'm talking about it, but I'm almost like motivating myself.
Yeah, you're manifesting it right now. And all the people that are gonna listen, they're gonna hold you to it too. So yeah. You're stuck.
You got where your Twitch, motherfucker. Before I let you go, I wanted to kind of talk about the new, you know, kind of the new era of Oceano, what you're doing musically. So you guys did sign with Sumerian. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at like the streams of the records, man. It's, you guys have streamed pretty damn well. It seems pretty consistent. What's the kind of future? Is the band still on Sumerian? Is there a record in the works, touring, things like that?
Yeah. So we still are on Sumerian. Thankfully, I'm glad they wanted to hold on to us. You know, the pandemic just really fucked shit up. And I think it really also added a lot of confusion, you know, to, I don't know why my band specifically, you know, but maybe just people were eager for that next album. And it just, that pandemic just kind of kicked us in the fucking nuts. Mm-hmm. We're working on music. I think the way that things are going to go is ideally we would like to kind of, you know, adapt with where, the music industry is going, where, you know, give people music as soon as possible, not so much, you know, take all this, you know, expanded time to do an album right away, because it's been a hot minute. I actually did record a song on stream, pre-pro. It was pretty fucking sick. So that's where we're at. I think it's just really compiling songs, but for me, the way we've done things has always been rushed. And I really want to use the pandemic as a break, you know, to give those dudes time to relax. I've been doing this whole, like, I can just chill at home. That's what I've been doing. But, you know, I wanted like everyone to take a breather. And so we can actually like not be rushed for once on the content we're creating and the music we're making, excuse me, and just really focus on one song at a time. Cause I there's always every album we've done, I can listen and be like, ah, fuck, I wish I could have done that. Dude, if we would just added that couple extra licks. And so I really just want to let everyone take a moment to be like, you know, when everyone's ready to write and create, that's when we create. And when the song sounds like it's done, then it's done. And we move on, not like, you know, half-assing songs. And I just really want everyone to take their time. So hopefully, you know, if I die in fucking, you know, a year from now, we put out, whether it's one last song or one last album, I'm 100% happy that it's the best representation of the band over all those years, you know, of being rushed in some way, that we can finally make what I feel is like, you know, if it had to be a swan song, which it won't, a swan song, you know, just in case, you know, because the whole way of the world has been so unpredictable and shit. And it's like, I don't want to put out some boo-boo.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I'm definitely the more meticulous mind of wanting to craft things and not rush things. Sometimes, listen, something comes together really quick and it's amazing and it's kind of magic, but sometimes you gotta, you know, you got to work that shit. So also, I saw some news recently on the PRP. It was like, you had a trap song or R&B. I don't know why they put R&B. Yeah.
It's R&B trap. Like, it's just like that mixture. It's as I continue to work on that stuff, it's just really showing me I don't really bind myself to one genre per se ever. So it's definitely like the last two I've dropped have been R&B, but it's going to a place that's more just, you know, a vibe. That's me singing just because I love singing too. But beyond that, I'm even working on some trap metal shit that's screaming and singing, you know, just, Yeah. I've just gotten to a place with music, and I've always felt like the oddball, because I've always, you know, like related to like a Prince or a Freddie Mercury or, you know, anyone like that, all the greats, where it's like, they just made music and they did crazy shit you didn't expect them to do and stuff like that. And that's what I think what really established them as entertainers, performers, vocalists, and all that stuff is showing the versatility. So being influenced once again by, you know, God forbid, Killswitch Engage and all these bands, it's like, these motherfuckers are doing a lot of shit within this one genre. And that's what influenced me from the jump, was like, if I want to be considered anywhere near great to what I idolized growing up, I got to show everything, not just the one or two tricks I got.
Well, yeah, I was looking at in that, I was just looking on the PRP because I was looking for that article, and then I saw a thing with you having acoustic tracks. Then I clicked on the link and it was not there. So I couldn't listen to the
thank goodness.
Stuff. And then you're talking about, you know, being influenced by Howard and stuff, but have you sang in any Oceano songs?
We've done some like background stuff. We did the album Incisions. Everyone likes it now. It's one of those fucking things, man. Everyone's like, I love Incisions. Like, you're lying. But, you know, yeah, it's on that album. There's little embellishments of singing in the background. It's nowhere near how I can sing now, but it's just, it's there. Yeah. Never too in the forefront. I think we did one song that was like in the forefront, but I was going for that more grittier, you know, kind of like undertones with the melody. Mm. So it's there, but it's not to the same degree or to compare it to, like, you know, my R&B stuff. It's not that soulful, you know, and it was a little bit more like, I guess, like I was trying over like ominous and brooding, you know, like just kind of like a high reverb and just, you know, like that kind of shit.
Well, it's good to know about all these diversity of talents. All right, because there's a lot of screamers who that's all they can do, and they can't stay in pitch, and it's just very cool, and it's very impressive. I want to hear more of it. I like to see people expand.
Oh yeah, yeah, I definitely have more things planned to show off what I can do.
That's awesome, brother. Well, listen, man, I want to thank you so much for taking your time to be on the show. This has been so much fun. You're such a badass. I admire your work and just your ability and your talent and everything you do, man. It's just it's an absolute pleasure. I appreciate it.
Thanks. Coming from you, it's the best thing I could hear for my week.
Hell yeah. Well, yo, take care. Good luck. Is there anything else you want to plug or promote? Anything happening?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say, like, you know, don't rule us out yet, motherfuckers. Oceano's not dead. We just took some time so we can live our lives and get our heads right, so that when it is time to tour safely and healthily, we'll be there fucking shit up, because the shit that Scott is writing is it's stupid.
In a good way. It's good stupid. Yes,
stupid good.
All right, brother, you take care of yourself, okay?
All right, take care. Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye. We'll be right back.
So you just heard Oceano with their track Lucid Reality from their 2017 album Revelation. I think that's the heaviest music I've ever heard in my life. You know, if you're someone who creates metal, when you hear that, you're like, I don't know what I'm doing, but it's not heavy. Okay. I need to work on that. And yeah, that's what goes out sometimes. You just realize you're soft and you're punk and you should probably retire. You know, just go home, get in your fucking RV and just go just be somewhere by a pond. Anyway, hope you enjoyed that conversation with Adam. You know, it was a nice, brisk conversation. You know, short for me, but hopefully enjoyable for the listener. Right? We just got right to it. We didn't pussyfoot. Dilly dally. Can't think of any other phrases that go, that's a synonym for that. Pussyfoot. What a weird fucking word. Jesus. Don't think about that. It'll make you all squirrely. Anyway, that was a lot of fun. Adam is the man. He's just a good dude. What else do I got going on? I'm just behind y'all. All right. Your boy, I got a lot of guitar to play. I got songs I got to learn. Wedding band show on the 17th. I got to start reviewing those tunes again, even though I just got done rehearsing. You know, it's a lot of music in my head, but luckily I have a pretty good memory for this stuff. So I tends to stay, but got to be prepared. All right. It's going to be a fun show, but luckily we're going to get some rehearsals in San Francisco, which is nice. I haven't been to San Francisco in quite some time. So I'm looking forward to that very much so. And you're going to see Metallica, which is pretty cool. Pretty cool band. Pretty cool. Yeah, the show's sold out, by the way. So sold out one day. Pretty good. Again, pretty good. Things are looking up. All right, everyone. And that's what I like. I like that things are looking up. Got something to look forward to. I have to say, I am a little worried about this. I'm a crom. I love saying that word. I'm a crom. It's like Abercrombie, but ghetto. I'm a crom. Hey, man, you get that from I'm a crom? I'm a crombie? Yeah, the I'm a crom or Omicron, whatever variant, which I was listening to this New York Times piece. They're like, yes, it's like the superhero of variants. It's like everything that you wished it wasn't. I'm like, that's great. Anyway, we'll see. I just got my booster and I feel weird as hell today. I feel like the microchips are really working today. Like I haven't gotten sick anytime I've had any of the vaccines, but I just feel weird today. Like very like, almost like when you have goosebumps or something, or like you have like almost like a, just like a chill, but it's not like I don't have a fever or anything, but I haven't gotten sick from any of the vaccines, but I definitely feel weird. So maybe they were right, you know, Rogan and them and Russell Brand and all them people. And I was wrong. I think it's so funny. Like we're all stuck in our ways. So it's like, you know, it's like those dudes who don't believe in vaccine, but then they're on their deathbed. They're like, oh, I should have got it. But then some people are like, nope, they're doubling down. So I'll probably be that guy, you know. I'll just be like dying from the vaccine. I'm like, no, it wasn't the vaccine. I'm just unhealthy. Oh, my Lord. I don't know why y'all listen to this. If you're still here, well, then I owe you something, you know, just a high five in the streets. I guess that's all I got to give, baby. All right, this is getting super weird. I actually got to watch some basketball tonight, the Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets. It was an excellent game, even though the Knicks came up short. But we don't have Kevin Durant, so I don't even feel bad. But I've been so busy, I haven't even had time to watch some ball. And every other game, all the people are out. LeBron James plays 40% of the games now. Thanks, LeBron. You know, lazy guy. He's only played 42,000 minutes. Over 18 years, you know. I think he deserves a day off, but I'm not going to let him. All right. I don't think I have anything else left to talk about, and that's all right. I love all you guys. Tell people about the show. All right. Are you in the holiday spirit? Well, help me. All right. I'm just not in the spirit. So I need something. Maybe send me some messages. Tell me what I should do to get in the spirit. We'll see. Anyway, y'all take care. Enjoy the Christmas trees. Mama's out.
It is now 2024, and the choice is up to you. Do you listen to good podcasts, or do you listen to bad ones? Well, we've got a suggestion for you. How about you listen to a good podcast for the first time in your miserable life? I can think of one. Overnight Drive. Going strong. 11 years now. The podcast about nothing. Your favorite podcast's favorite podcast. Do you enjoy nothing? So do we. Why don't you come over and check it out and stop listening to other podcasts? Thank you.